How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am back from Vegas, and I feel like I'm back from Vegas. Funny Vegas story here in a second. I am joined by Harrison Fagan, as always.
What's up, guys?
Harrison was not in Vegas, so feels exponentially better than I do, I would imagine.
Only the normal amount of horrible.
He's going to catch me up on the weekend. We're just going to kind of turn on the mics and go. But before we get to that, as always, find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Use those promo codes on SeatGeek, Mack Weldon, and now BlueApron.com/LOLakers to take advantage of listening to the show. You listen to us, so you may as well reap the benefits of it. All right. We start, as always, when I come back from a trip, you're gonna catch me up on things I might have missed. For those of you who don't follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA, I have a funny little story that would only really happen in Vegas, to be completely honest. I was sitting there at a sports book with the Lakers playing right in front of me, basically, right? For those of you who have never been to Vegas, your drinks are free if you're playing video poker, if you're playing video blackjack.
It is an advantage. It is something that Anthony takes full advantage of in Vegas.
I sure as hell feel like it. So I'm sitting there, and just like is any bar, you kind of, you know, shoot the stuff with whoever the bartender is, the usual, you know, who are you, where are you from, what do you do, blah, 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 blah. And as he asked, I said, yeah, I cover the Lakers for a living. I've signed myself up to talk to you kind folks every day. And he said, oh, that's really cool. And a few minutes pass. And again, I want to reiterate, this is very important. There's a TV 5 feet from us playing the Laker game. It's a huge screen. It's playing right in front of us. This woman comes up, and she's obviously tipsy. She was partaking in Vegas activities as well. She comes up, and she kind of leans in, and she goes, did I hear you say you play for the Lakers? And I'm like, no, you did not hear that. Again, Laker game right in front of me. She could see it right there. And I kind of wanted to say, like, I wanted to see how far I could go. So I just kind of said, like, yeah, I'm like the laziest Laker player ever. I'm round. I am sitting at a bar while my teammates are playing. And I am talking to you right now while it's going on. And she was drunk enough to still believe me despite that. So she probably feels worse than I do today.
Wow. Yeah. That is how you do a cold open to a show. So just in case you guys were wondering, this is a Lakers podcast.
I mean,
but holy wow, that was
hosted by a Laker. Like, you guys listen to
host, yeah, hosted by a fake Laker, a faker.
So that's what happened to me over the weekend, and then
I never know what to expect when you come back from Vegas, and that certainly was not that was nowhere in my guesses.
It was an interesting.
I mean, honestly, now I'm just mad that like I'm way taller than you, and I've never been mistaken for a Laker in Vegas at Summer League.
while the team is there, while the team
I
is
just,
present,
you know what? I need to finally splurge on that Sasha Vujacic jersey.
You do.
But at some point, we probably should get to what happened with the Lakers tonight, as we record this on Sunday, and what happened over the weekend with them.
Yeah, we should. So, all right, so tell me what I missed in my drunken stupor.
Okay, so what you missed? The Lakers are a juggernaut now. It's it's too late for them to make the playoffs. They missed that boat by approximately 73 games, but they have won 4 games in a row and are 5-5 in their last 10, and they have made sure that they can't have the second worst record outright. They've been good enough that Phoenix will at least tie at the very worst tie with the Lakers for the second worst record in the NBA. Phoenix has actually won 2 in a row, so I don't know what's going on. I'm pretty sure the world's going to end soon, but Phoenix and the Lakers, Phoenix has 1 more game. The Lakers have 2 more games. So Phoenix, by some miracle, wins 1 more game. They play their last game. They play against the Kings on Tuesday. If they win against the Kings and the Lakers lose their last 2, then the Lakers will be tied with the Suns for the second worst record in the league. Otherwise, the Lakers will end up with the 3rd worst record in the league. And a 46.9% chance to keep their top 3 protected draft pick.
All right. A lot to talk about there. So I did watch, obviously, I watched the first game this weekend. I think it was, did they play Friday night? They played Friday
yeah,
night.
Yeah, they played Friday against the Kings in which Ingram is, you know, he's a finishing god now. he's good. Like, he's legitimately good on offense now, and it's fun to watch.
All right, so I should start here. They're winning these games, but it's still on the backs of the kids, right? Like, nobody else is really playing.
I mean, so down the stretch tonight, we're recording this Sunday, but down the stretch tonight, Meta World Peace was playing for some reason, and I guess the Meta World Peace Farewell Tour has started, but it was mostly the kids. Meta World Peace was out there, actually, on the Lakers' final possession on Sunday night when Russell hit the game winner. Meta World Peace actually bricked a 3, like, badly, and the Lakers got a rebound, and they managed to get it out to Russell, who then bailed them out with that game winner, but they nearly tanked that one down the stretch. And what was funny was Stu, apparently, I had the game on mute because I was watching it from the newsroom, but apparently Stu said that Meta World Peace had to refuel the tank. And it, like, I'm pretty sure he meant take a rest, like, when he, and then come back in when Meta World Peace was subbed in or whatever.
Yeah.
But, or Stu is doing some amazing wordplay.
Do you think Stu's team tank? Because he's like, he's kind of old school.
No, there's no way. There's no way Stu is team tank. Based on what I don't know Stu, but based on what I've heard about Stu, there's no way he's team tank.
Because he does come across as very old school.
Yeah, no, there's no way. Like, this, watching these games, if you can't tell from the commentary, like, physically pains him.
Yeah, yeah, he's I've only met him the one time. He's a really nice guy, but yeah, there's no way he's team tank. I would agree. All right, so the next question I have about this then, I watched all of Friday. They played the Wolves today.
Sunday, yeah.
Sunday. And obviously, you know, like you said, they won. Russell hits this game winner and stuff. I had this conversation with, there's like an SB Nation like group chat basically, and I had this I asked basically, do you think it's fair to say that the Lakers core might actually be better than the Wolves core, despite the Wolves having Karl-Anthony Towns?
And Andrew Wiggins, who both scored 40 tonight.
They both scored and they lost?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Let me check the box score on that, actually, because I thought I saw somebody tweet that, but now you're saying it out. Now that I say it out loud, hold
There's
on.
No
we
way.
May do. We'll just cut this if I'm wrong. We'll just cut it.
Yeah.
So Karl-Anthony Towns had 40 points, and Andrew Wiggins also had 41 points. So I was right.
And they
81
lost.
In a clear tribute to Kobe.
Good.
They scored 81 combined.
In a loss.
Yeah, in a loss.
In a
the
loss.
Rest of their team, the next highest scorer was Shabazz Muhammad and Gorgie Jang.
I think it's
were
Jang.
Tied with 12.
Do you think Gorgie plays Jenga?
And then two
Jenga?
Other guys scored two.
Do you think Gorgie plays Jenga?
Not your best.
That wasn't a good one?
No, that was pretty bad.
I might still be drunk from Vegas. All right, so the next, the final question I have about this, and you actually wrote about it. I just automatically retweeted
well, like,
it.
You did ask like if I think the Lakers or Wolves core is better.
Yeah.
I think based on track record, you still have to go with the Wolves core right now just because Karl Anthony Towns is so good. And yeah. I think Wiggins might be a little overrated right now, but I still think he's going to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And, they didn't have Zach LaVine. And so that even though they've played better without him, eventually if they can get him to be a part of like a functional defense – then that's like a pretty solid core. But I don't think the Lakers are as far behind as a lot of people think.
Here's how I'd kind of put it. I think Towns is far and away the best of all the prospects, right?
Like, easily.
Hot take, right? But I would say I would then put like Russell, Randall, and Ingram. I would go Russell, Randall, Wiggins, Ingram, LaVine. And I would
That's interesting. You have Randall ahead of Wiggins.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think he's a better player. I think Wiggins still has more potential, but I think Randall is a better player right now.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I think Wiggins is a better player right now. I think Wiggins is a better player and a better prospect. And I like Randall. You're supposed to be the Randall hater on this podcast.
It's an upside down world right now. Especially when I stand up,
probably literally when you look around the room, I'd imagine you're gonna like take this back on tomorrow's podcast, and it's gonna be hilarious.
You're gonna say, "What the hell did I say?"
Wait, I said who was better than Wiggins?
but the reason I have LaVine last is because I don't know what he's gonna be like coming back from the injury, right? Like he relies so heavily on explosiveness, and if he doesn't come back as explosive as he was, then, you know, that's a concern.
Yeah, I'm not as high on LaVine as a lot of people.
Yeah. He's a better shooter than people give him credit for. For some reason, like, people think you can't be a good athlete and a good shooter at the same time.
No, if you're a good athlete, like, if you hit, like, league average, you're considered a bad shooter just because they assume that you're only going to try and dunk on people.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, yeah, I would still...
So if Larry Nance Jr. ever develops a three-pointer, watch out.
Is he still shooting threes?
He's kind of slowed down a little bit.
Oh, man.
I mean, but the thing is, like, he's shooting – when he does shoot from there or anywhere, he's so much more decisive over this last stretch of games. Like, he's just putting up the shot. He's not sitting there and, like, looking at every single teammate, then double-checking to make sure that no one's open, and then looking back at the bench and asking Luke if he can shoot. And then looking for one more open teammates one more time, and then shooting.
Pulling
like that was
kind
of his MO for like the first 60 games, and now he's just shooting.
Yeah, well, and I think there's a correlation between him shooting the way he is. Not even that if he makes it. I don't even care if he makes it, but being willing to take the shot makes the offense flow better. Right.
Yeah, and I was talking to him the other day, and he said that that's been the biggest thing about kind of their improved offensive play is just that everybody has gotten to the point where they trust the system now and they trust each other, like that their teammate when they move the ball to them is going to make the right decision.
Okay. I thought for a second he basically credited himself for the
No.
Like, honestly, the reason we're playing better is because I'm playing better and more.
No, he would I feel confident saying Larry Nance Jr. is never going to take personal responsibility non-sarcastically for something the Lakers do well.
Yeah, he's a good dude. We had him on the show. Make sure you guys go back and find that episode. You wrote after the game about the D'Angelo Russell shot, and I kind of figured we'd wrap up the show here. On this point, but the shot meant a little bit more to you than most game winners.
Well, so I think first we should give the backstory, but Russell, he found out his grandmother passed Sunday morning, and he almost wasn't going to play, and he ended up, you know, suiting up at the urging of his family, and then he got rewarded by hitting the game winner. And so I thought that was like kind of, I mean, that's an incredible story in and of itself. And like, I understand people being upset about the lottery odds and things like that. Like, long term, this one feel good game, I get that it doesn't offset the lottery odds. It would be kind of naive for me to even say that. But at the same time, the Lakers are getting these wins on the back of their young guys, like we've talked about all year. They aren't like playing Lou Williams down the stretch to get these wins. And so there's that. And then just for me, just from the human element, like one game out of the year, even with the stakes as high, like this one game is no more hurtful to the Lakers tank just because it came later in the year than the other random wins that have preceded it. Like, if you want to get upset about a win, like, this is not the one to be mad about, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And just for me personally, like, I wrote this in my piece on it on Silver Screen Roll, and I don't like to get into, like, first person, like, here, let me, like, tell it, let me read my diary to you type, like, writing a whole lot. I try to keep myself out of it in general.
You're spot.
But for me, it resonated because I lost my great uncle last week, last Thursday, I found out. And like, it's just, he basically filled the, the grandfather role in my life. And, you know, so like, having just lost kind of a grandparent and, you know, because both of my grandfathers died before I was born, or like shortly thereafter, one of them did. And so I never really had that really, like, Uncle Max was that for me. Mm-hmm. And he had like a major influence on my sense of humor. He was always very sarcastic, always teasing people, and just had like a really big influence in the time that I spent with him growing up. And just like hearing Russell talk about how much it meant to him on a day that he lost, you know, his grandmother, who he made it sound like it's pretty clear he was really close to, and how much relief he seemed to get, like, as he was running over to embrace his family and all of that stuff. And, like, you know, after hitting the game winner and just talking to Mike Trudell about, like, how it was basically, and talking to the media after the game about how it was basically like God putting a cherry on top of, you know, a win, because he would have just, he said he would have just taken the win. But and you kind of have to say that, I get it, but it seemed genuine. And but to get the game winner on like a crazy, like, it did bounce up in the air and then come back out, like, it looked like it was going out and then it came back in, like, that's almost, you know, I could see why he would take some significance and some solace in that. And not only just having the success and having basically the entire Staples Center embrace you, but also have kind of like, it almost feel like there was a little bit of divine intervention. Like, I could see why you would believe that if you believed in those sort of things, and, you know, that like he had some guidance on that shot. And I'm just kind of droning on here, I feel like, but just for me personally, having just gone through a loss like that and how hard it is for me, and I'm like, I'm a blogger, I'm just like showing up and like bothering people with questions and like writing stuff. And like, to go out and like exert yourself athletically, like, I can't even imagine like what that must be like on the day that it happened, and on the day when you almost just weren't going to do it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's like incredibly hard for me to find any type of, you know, outrage or righteous indignation or whatever that the Lakers, they're just throwing away their tank. They set it on fire. They can't even tank right. Like, I don't have any of that tonight. And I kind of wrote about why. And I don't judge people if you are angry and you want to look at the bigger picture. That's, you know, you look at sports however you want to watch. You enjoy sports however you want to. I just don't think that this is the one that people should be getting themselves upset about.
I completely agree with everything you said. I thought you put it really well. I'm sorry for your loss. And to D'Angelo Russell, there's no chance that you're listening to this whatsoever. But I'm sorry for your loss as well and your family's loss. And yeah, I honestly haven't seen the play yet, but hearing that it took like a crazy fortuitous bounce to even go in as well, like, that's the kind of thing that if you're religious, and if you believe in the presence of people after they pass, D'Angelo Russell's grandma absolutely gave it a little nudge in the right direction, you know. And if he does feel that way, if he does see it that way, that had to be really cool. And it's cool that his family was there. to celebrate him afterward. I know there were some people, I would imagine, when he first started running over to his family and not to his teammates, that they, y'all, look at Russell being
well, you
first.
See, his, you see, what happened is his teammates mob him and they give him a hug, and then Russell keeps going. Mm-hmm. And he runs over towards the tunnel where his family sits, and he just like grabbed his little brother.
That's cool. That's cool. I remember when he hit a game winner. Remember he hit the game winner at the Summer League?
Yeah, and there were some people that were upset that he had run to his family instead of his teammates.
Yeah. I don't blame this kid at all for being insular because of the way I think he's been treated. In an event like tonight, that's really cool that his family was there to celebrate with him. So,
and I mean, like, for all the talk of him not getting along well with his teammates or whatever, like, people want to make it out that he's like a bad teammate or guys don't like him or whatever. Like, I was at the Defenders game on Saturday night. Like, he was sitting with Tyler Ennis, he was sitting with Thomas Robinson. Like, he was joking around with them. He was joking around with Luke and his family and Luke's daughter, like Luke's like young daughter, that like when Luke tried to hand him to him, like Russell was like acting like no, like I don't want to hold a baby. And like he was joking around with us on press row, like he's a good dude. Like is the sense that I get. I think a lot of this like attitude stuff at times can be overblown.
Yeah, I would completely agree. All right, so that does it for this episode. A little shorter episode today. Before we go, we should really quickly update people on what the win and everything means for the tank.
We did.
Well, I meant the split and the tiebreaker or lack thereof. I don't think we talked about that.
Yes. So if the Lakers do manage the tie with Phoenix, which again, if they lose their last two games and Phoenix wins their last one, then they would tie for second worst team in the league. So congrats. And they would split the lottery odds down the middle. There would be an odd number of ping pong balls, and so there would be a coin flip to determine like who got the extra one, basically. But it would be a statistically insignificant difference between the two spots. So the Lakers would have about a slightly above 50% chance to keep their pick if they tie with Phoenix. So all that said about the losing and winning, and there are more important things than draft picks, the Lakers really should be trying to lose these last two games.
After having gone on. All right.
I'm sorry, man. You can't turn off like the Vulcan logic in me. I can't do it for that long.
Funny, true funny fact about the show, actually. As we sign off every day, you do that thing that Spock does with your hand. You kind of...
Yeah, live long and prosper, man.
Live long and prosper. All right, we'll talk to everybody again tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you're finding the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen & Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Use those promo codes on SeatGeek, Mack Weldon, and Blue Apron. Thank you, Harrison, for holding down the fort while I was out this past weekend. And we'll talk to everybody mañana.
Thanks, Anthony. Live long and prosper.